Sleeping in a freezing car should kill you within hours. Your body temperature drops, your organs start shutting down. Yet thousands of homeless people survive entire winters in unheated vehicles. They're not using heaters, blankets, or anything you'd expect. What do they know that survival experts don't? Here's the thing about sleeping in a car during winter. Glass is a traitor. Every window in your vehicle is basically a heat vampire sucking warmth out of your car all night long. About 70% of the heat you lose gone straight through those windows. Your body works overtime producing 80 to 100 watts of heat, which sounds impressive until you realize it's escaping faster than you can make it. So what do experienced car sleepers do? They build a coffin. Not a real one, obviously. But they take rigid foam insulation boards from hardware stores and cut them to fit every single window perfectly, like a puzzle that keeps you alive. And the weird part is, this simple trick can raise your interior temperature by 15 to 20 degrees. No heater, no engine, just foam and physics. These folks call it stealth mode because nobody can see inside. You get warmth and privacy in one move. Pretty clever, right? Now, I've heard some veterans permanently attach these boards with Velcro strips. They're not messing around anymore. Their car isn't a car. It's a micro cabin on wheels that works in July and January. But here's where it gets tricky. Your breath has to go somewhere. In a sealed car, that moisture has nowhere to escape. By morning, everything inside is wet. Your windows, your blankets, your dignity. One guy told me it's like waking up inside a cloud that hates you. The human body releases roughly 1 pint of water vapor every single night just from breathing. In an airtight space, that's a recipe for soggy misery. Still, when it's 20 degrees outside and you don't have money for a motel, soggy beats frozen every time. Some car sleepers get creative with this setup. They'll leave one tiny corner unsealed for airflow. Others just accept the morning moisture situation as part of the deal, a small price for not becoming a human popsicle. The foam coffin method works. It's proven. It's cheap. But blocking heat loss is only half the battle. What if you could actually generate more warmth from the inside? Here's the thing about surviving a freezing night in your car. Insulation only gets you halfway there. The real heat source? It's you. Your own body. And some homeless car sleepers have figured out how to hack their metabolism like it's a programmable furnace. The trick is fat. Not carbs. Not protein. Fat. About 30 to 60 minutes before sleep, experienced car dwellers eat things like peanut butter straight from the jar, hunks of cheese, or canned sardines. Sounds like a weird midnight snack, right? But there's actual science behind it. Digesting fat produces way more body heat than carbs. It's called thermogenesis. Basically, your digestive system works harder to break down fatty foods, and that extra effort generates warmth. You're literally turning your stomach into a space heater. Now here's where it gets clever. These folks time their fuel load so peak heat production hits around 2 or 3 a.m. That's when temperatures drop lowest. That's when hypothermia sneaks up on people. By eating strategically, they're matching their body's heat output to the coldest window of the night. 4 to 6 hours of slow-burning internal warmth from one meal. Not bad for a $2 jar of Skippy. But what about alcohol? It makes you feel warm, doesn't it? Worst mistake you can make. Alcohol dilates your blood vessels, brings blood to your skin surface, feels cozy for about 20 minutes. Then you're radiating heat into the cold air like a broken radiator. People have died thinking whiskey would save them. Military survival training actually teaches this eating for warmth concept. Arctic expeditions have used it for decades, and now it's standard knowledge in car sleeping forums online. Some sleepers even wake at 3 or 4 a.m. for a second small fat intake. Just enough to restart the metabolic furnace without climbing out of the sleeping bag. A handful of almonds, a spoonful of coconut oil. Pretty ingenious when you think about it. But metabolism can only do so much when temperatures really plummet. That's when the 3 a.m. engine strategy becomes absolutely critical. Here's the thing about cold. It doesn't hit hardest at midnight. It waits. The absolute coldest moment happens around 3 to 4 a.m. Your body knows this, even if your brain doesn't. Core temperature drops to its lowest point during those hours. Metabolism slows down. And if you're sleeping in a car without heating, this is when hypothermia stops being a word and starts being a real possibility. So what do experienced car sleepers do? They set alarms. Sounds ridiculous, right? Waking up in the middle of the night to run your engine for 15 minutes. but it works. This isn't random. The timing is calculated. You're hitting that engine heat exactly when your body is most vulnerable. 15 minutes of warm air during the danger window can carry you through until sunrise. It's like giving your body a thermal reset button. Now, let's talk money. Running a car engine for 15 minutes burns roughly 0.2 gallons of gas. At current prices, that's about 70 cents. For someone budgeting every dollar, that's a real expense. But it's also cheaper than a hospital visit for frostbite. But here's where it gets serious. Approximately 430 Americans die every year from carbon monoxide poisoning in vehicles. Most fell asleep with the engine running, the invisible killer, they call it. You can't smell it building up. You just drift off and never wake up. Experienced car dwellers have developed countermeasures. They park facing downhill so exhaust flows away from the vehicle. Others position their cars into the wind for the same reason. Some crack a window during these warming sessions, even though it seems counterproductive. And there's one warning sign everyone learns to recognize. When you stop shivering, you're not warming up. You're in trouble. Shivering is your body fighting back. When it quits fighting, that's when you absolutely need engine heat, not 5 minutes from now. The metabolic warmth from dinner helps. The insulation helps. But sometimes you need actual heat. What you don't need? A dead battery. And that's where things get creative with reflective materials. Emergency Mylar blankets? You know those crinkly silver sheets that look like you're wrapping yourself in a baked potato? They reflect 97% of your body heat back at you. But here's what most people get wrong. They wrap themselves up like a burrito and call it a day. Car sleepers? They figured out something smarter. They tape the Mylar to the ceiling. Why the ceiling? Because heat rises. Your body pumps out warmth all night, and it floats straight up toward the roof. And what's your car roof made of? Uninsulated sheet metal. In freezing weather, that roof becomes a giant heat vampire, sucking every bit of warmth right out of the car. So you create a heat mirror above your sleeping area. The warm air rises, hits the reflective surface, and bounces right back down. It's like having a personal sun above you, except the sun is just your own recycled body heat. Pretty clever, right? Now, there's a catch. Mylar crinkles loudly. Every time you shift position, it sounds like someone aggressively opening a bag of chips. Some people can't stand it. After 3 nights, the noise drives them absolutely insane. Veteran car sleepers solved this problem years ago. They sandwiched the Mylar between two fabric layers, a cheap fleece blanket on each side. Silent warmth. Then there's the windshield shade trick. Those reflective sunshades you buy for $2 at the gas station, they're basically thick Mylar with better insulation. Flip them around, lay them over your blanket, and you've got a budget heat reflector that won't wake the neighbors. Some people take this concept to the extreme. They build full Mylar tents inside their vehicles, hang sheets from the grab handles, tape edges to the seats, create a tiny reflective pod around just their sleeping area. The genius here? You're not trying to heat the entire car anymore. You're heating a space roughly the size of a coffin. Much easier to keep warm, but even the best insulation can't stop one invisible enemy. And it's probably not what you think. Here's the thing about survival. Sometimes the best technology is the stuff your grandparents used. Hot water bottles. Yeah, those rubber things that look like they belong in a 1920s hospital. Turns out they're absolute gold for car sleepers. A good rubber hot water bottle releases heat slowly over 4 to 6 hours. That's basically a gentle heater that needs zero electricity, makes no noise, and costs maybe $8 at a pharmacy. Not bad for something your great-grandmother probably owned. But here's where car dwellers get clever. Gas station microwaves. Most stations have them for heating up burritos and those questionable hot dogs. Buy a coffee, ask nicely, and you can heat water in a microwave-safe bottle. Transaction costs nothing extra. Staff usually don't care. Now, placement matters more than you'd think. Slapping a hot bottle against your feet feels nice, but it's inefficient. The real trick is placing it against major blood vessels. Inner thighs, armpits, stomach area. Your blood carries that warmth everywhere, basically turning your circulatory system into a heat distribution network. Pretty smart for something that looks like a deflated balloon, right? A 2-liter bottle filled with 150-degree water contains enough thermal energy to keep a sleeping bag noticeably warm for most of a cold night. We're talking 5-6 hours of genuine warmth from something you could buy at any convenience store. Some car sleepers run relay systems, multiple bottles. When one cools down around 2 a.m., swap it out for another that's been wrapped in towels to retain heat longer. It's like having a pit crew for your sleep setup. Rubber bottles have mostly given way to Nalgene bottles now. They won't leak, they handle boiling water without warping, and here's the bonus. By morning, you've got drinking water at perfect temperature. Dual purpose. Car dwellers love anything that does two jobs. Simple? Absolutely. Effective? Surprisingly so, but warmth from bottles only goes so far when you're parked in the wrong location. And where you park? That's a chess game with stakes higher than you'd expect. Where you park might matter more than what you sleep in. Hospital parking garages stay 20 to 30 degrees warmer than outdoor lots. All those cars coming and going, engines running, combined with heat bleeding from the building itself. It's basically free heating nobody asked permission to use. Underground structures are even better. Here's why. The Earth, just a few feet below the surface, stays around 55 degrees year-round. Doesn't matter if it's January or July up top. That parking garage is borrowing the planet's thermostat. But my personal favorite trick? Parking against a 24-hour laundromat's exterior wall. Those industrial dryers run all night. The building's backside becomes a giant radiator. You're essentially cuddling a warm brick wall without paying for a single load of laundry. Now here's where it gets complicated. Police knock and wake policies change completely depending on which city you're in. Some cops will tap your window, ask if you're okay, and drive off. Others will ticket you before you've even wiped the sleep from your eyes. Same country, totally different rules. And then there's Walmart. Their famous overnight parking permission has accidentally created entire communities. You'll see the same cars in the same spots night after night. People recognize each other. They wave. It's like a neighborhood, except everyone's address has wheels. Smart car sleepers never get comfortable in one location, though. They rotate between three or four safe spots throughout the week. Monday at the hospital, Wednesday behind the laundromat, Friday in the Walmart lot. Why bother? Because humans are pattern recognition machines. Security guards notice. Neighbors notice. That concerned citizen who calls the police? They definitely notice. Staying invisible means staying unpredictable. Some veterans keep mental maps of every tolerant location within a 20-mile radius. They know which businesses have relaxed security on weekends, which residential streets have no HOA busybodies, which church parking lots actually practice what they preach. Finding warmth is one battle. But even the perfect parking spot means nothing if you can't power the heating tools that make survival possible. Now here's where things get interesting, because some car sleepers have basically become electrical engineers out of pure necessity. Heated car seat cushions designed for truckers can run 8+ hours on a single Marine deep cycle battery. We're talking only 3 to 4 amps of draw. That's less power than your refrigerator light uses. And these cushions weren't made for homeless people. They were made for long-haul drivers who spend weeks in their cabs. But hey, if the shoe fits, then there's the construction worker hack. Milwaukee and DeWalt power tool batteries have accidentally created an entire survival ecosystem. Heated jackets, heated vests, heated blankets, all running on the same batteries that power drills and saws. A carpenter might not realize it, but his job site gear is now homeless survival equipment. Life comes at you funny sometimes. But my personal favorite? USB-powered heating pads. These little things draw about 5 watts. That's roughly what it takes to charge your phone. You slip one inside your sleeping bag, position it near your core, and suddenly you've got targeted warmth for pennies worth of electricity. It's like having a heating pad at the doctor's office, except your office is a 2004 Honda Civic. Portable power stations have changed the game completely. Brands like Jackery can run heating elements for 2 or 3 nights between charges. Not cheap up front, but when you calculate nightly motel costs versus one $200 battery purchase, the math gets real obvious, real fast. And here's the part nobody talks about. Where do you recharge all this stuff? Public libraries. Genius, right? Car sleepers spend hours during the day reading, while their batteries quietly fill up at the outlet under the desk. Free electricity, free warmth, and you might accidentally learn something about the Byzantine Empire while you're at it. But all this electrical wizardry creates one massive problem that most people never consider. The more sealed up and warm your car gets, the more moisture builds up inside. And moisture? That's where things get dangerous. Here's where things get uncomfortable. And I mean that literally. Every night, a sleeping person exhales roughly 1 pint of water vapor. 1 pint. That's like breathing out a small water bottle while you dream. Now trap that moisture inside a sealed car with no ventilation. By morning, you're waking up in an ice cave. Frost covers the inside of every window. Your sleeping bag feels damp. The ceiling drips like you're camping under a leaky roof. And here's the real problem. Wet insulation loses up to 40% of its warming ability. So that expensive sleeping bag you saved for, it's now working at 60% capacity. Not great when it's 20 degrees outside. Experienced car sleepers hoard silica gel packets like they're gold bars. Those little do not eat pouches from shoeboxes, beef jerky bags, electronics packaging, pure treasure. Some folks collect dozens of them, scatter them throughout the car, and rotate them out when they're saturated. My grandfather used to say moisture was a house's worst enemy. Turns out it's a car sleeper's nemesis too. Damp rid containers, the ones designed for musty RV closets, have become standard equipment. They sit quietly in cup holders, pulling humidity from the air. Not glamorous, but effective. Then there's the survival crack technique. You crack a window exactly 1/4 inch. Just enough airflow to prevent condensation, but not enough to lose serious heat. It sounds counterintuitive, letting cold air in to stay warm, but it works. Physics is weird like that. Some car dwellers get creative with their dashboard vents. Before sleeping, they point all vents upward. Even without running heat, this creates air circulation channels that keep moisture moving instead of settling on surfaces. The condensation battle never really ends. It's a nightly war between your breath and the laws of thermodynamics. But managing moisture is only half the equation. Because even in a dry car, heat escapes in sneaky ways most people never consider. And that's where air gap engineering changes everything. Most people assume you need expensive materials to stay warm. Thick down sleeping bags, fancy insulation, premium gear, wrong. The real secret isn't what you buy, it's what you trap. Air gaps. Veteran car sleepers figured out something that engineers have known for decades. The best insulator on the planet is free. It's the air itself, but only if it stays still. Moving air steals your heat. Trapped air keeps it. So instead of one thick sleeping bag, smart car dwellers layer multiple thin blankets. Each layer creates a pocket of dead air. Three cheap fleece throws outperform one expensive bag. Makes sense, right? And the weird part is, this scales ridiculously well. Empty backpacks get stuffed around the body. Spare clothing bags fill the gaps near doors. Some people even inflate trash bags and wedge them into footwells. Sounds ridiculous. Works incredibly well. Here's why this matters. Cold air is heavy. It sinks and pools at the lowest point in your car. That's usually right where your feet are. So all that frigid air just sits there, stealing warmth through the floor. But if you fill that dead space with literally anything, you block the pooling effect. Old pillows, wadded newspapers, whatever you've got. Then there's the vertical game. Some sleepers suspend blankets from grab handles, creating hanging walls between themselves and the windows. This stops heat from bleeding sideways toward the glass. It's basically building a tent inside your tent. I tried this once during a winter camping trip, hung a cheap fleece from the dome light. Felt like I'd installed a furnace. The temperature difference was startling. This whole approach mimics how mountaineering tents work in sub-zero conditions. They don't use thicker fabric. They use multiple layers with air gaps between them. Same principle, different application. The goal isn't adding bulk, it's killing air movement. Every draft you stop is heat you keep. But here's what nobody tells you about staying warm alone in a car. Sometimes the most effective heating system isn't engineering at all. Nobody survives winter in a car alone. That's just reality. The smartest car sleepers figured this out years ago. During dangerous cold snaps, two people share one vehicle. Simple math, two bodies produce double the heat output. You go from 80 watts to 160 watts in a sealed space. That's the difference between a rough night and a hospital trip. But here's what most people miss. It's not just about warmth. Car pairing creates survival networks. These communities check on each other at dawn, every single morning. And if someone doesn't respond, missed check-ins trigger welfare searches. People actually go looking. In a world that mostly ignores homeless folks, someone notices if you don't wake up. Now let's talk about the furriest survival partners. Dogs. A medium-sized dog produces about 50 watts of heat. That's like having a small space heater that also barks at threats. They're biological alarm systems wrapped in fur. And honestly, they're better company than most people I've met. The Buddy system serves another purpose too. Someone stays semi-conscious throughout the night. They monitor for dangers. They can restart the engine during emergencies. Two sets of eyes, two sets of ears. Mutual aid groups have taken this further. They've developed what they call cold call phone trees. Volunteers send 2 a.m. text check-ins to known car sleepers during freezing nights. A simple, "you okay?" message that might save a life. And the weird part is, the psychological warmth matters just as much as physical heat. Isolation during cold nights creates depression spirals. Companion sleeping breaks that cycle. Having another heartbeat nearby changes everything. So what have we learned? Sleeping in a freezing car isn't about one magic solution. It's insulation boards and metabolic hacks and strategic engine runs. It's Mylar blankets and hot water bottles and parking spot chests. It's moisture management and air gaps and looking out for each other. Humans are remarkably creative when survival demands it. These techniques aren't just homeless hacks. They're engineering solutions born from necessity. And frankly, that's pretty impressive.